G'day, everybody, and welcome to another DUC Migrating to Australia podcast. On this episode, I'm joined by Becky Carr and Lisa Chambers. We'll hear Becky's story. Becky moved to the Gold Coast with her family in January 2023. She's also been to Australia before on a working holiday visa, so this isn't her first date with Australia. And Becky's also one of our amazing relocation agents who looks after the Gold Coast, Northern New South Wales, etc. So Becky and Lisa, welcome.
Thanks for having me. I'm excited to be here.
Good stuff. All right. Well, Becky, let's jump straight to it. So is this your first podcast you've ever done?
It is. I'm very excited.
It is. Yeah, it's a bit daunting. But I mean, it's great to have you because you've got a really cool, you've got a good story. So let's just get a bit of background about you. So you guys arrived in Australia in January 2023 and you've got your partner, Jason, who's a data cabler, and you've got Bella and Reef, who are both six, so twins. And we worked out earlier it's not a set of twins. They're called a set of twins or identical twins, we believe. And then you've got Bonnie, who's five. So, you know, lots of kids in very similar ages. I'm sure it's challenging day to day, but it would have been challenging with the move.
It was, but they were just so excited. I think when we came over, it just felt like one big holiday for them. And they were so young. They were four, and three when we moved. It was just a big, exciting time for them. They couldn't wait to get here.
I love the names, actually, Bella, Reef and Bonnie. And you mentioned a bit earlier that Bella's actual first name is Sydney.
Yes, so Bella is actually called Sydney. We've never actually called her Sydney, so I don't really know why that is. But me and my partner Jason, we actually met in Sydney. So when we found out we were having twins, we just thought, you know, that's a really fitting name. Just a nice name, seeing as we met in Sydney. And then we named our little boy Reef because we used to love a place called Reef Beach. And yeah, that's that.
There you go. There you go. So, all right. So you and Jason, so you met in Sydney. So I assume, was it working holiday visas, was it?
Yeah. So I was over on a working holiday visa and we met in a really unconventional way. We actually met online while Jason was still in the UK. He came out to Sydney to meet me for the first time. We had a really good time working as au pairs together in Sydney. And did that for a few months. And then, you know, working holiday visa comes to an end and we had to go back home. But Australia was always had a huge tug on us and we always knew we'd be back one day.
That's unbelievable. So you guys met online. You're in Oz, you're in Sydney, and you just had to lure him, come over here and start working with us. Is that how it went?
Like, couldn't go out and meet an Australian man. So had to have an English man who, flew all the way over to meet me for the first time. So that was super exciting, not what I had planned to do when I came over to Australia. But, you know, here we are 9 years later living here as permanent residents.
Yeah, it's cool. That's cool. So when you did your work and holiday visa, was it just the 1 year that you and Jason did?
Yeah, I just did the 1 year. So I was the worst working holiday visa person ever. I didn't actually travel. I found a job as an au pair in the Northern Beaches around the Manly area and loved it so, so much. So didn't actually feel the need to travel anywhere. Loved my job, loved the area and loved Sydney so, so much. So yeah, I loved it.
You know, Becky, it's actually not that uncommon for people to do that. As you know, well, we process lots of sponsored visas and it's really common for people to get here, fall in love with a job in an area and be like, well, I want to start my sponsored visa now. So I'm closer to PR. So I think meeting Jason online and bringing him all the way over from the UK to Australia is pretty good. Most people I feel do the opposite. They're like, nah, I'm going to run wild for a month on me or for a year, whatever, on a work and holiday visa and then head back to the UK and keep all secrets. I know that's what I did when I was traveling Oz and in the UK and all that as well. It's like run amok. Bella Reef, so they're six now. Are they nearly seven? Are they just turned six?
They were six in January. So, yeah, they had just turned five when we came out. So, yeah, been here just over a year now and they are now in year one in school, well, grade one as they call it here.
And how are they going? We also had another, we interviewed Jess who's got twins and they started prep as well this year, and they were told that what they're identical. So obviously Reeve and Bella aren't, but one of them had to wear a blue top and the other one had to wear a red top, which is quite interesting. Does the primary school put Bella and Reeve in the same class now?
They are in the same class. They were in the same class last year when they were in prep, and I requested them to be in the same class again this year just so they were familiar with each other. But yeah, we'll definitely be separating them next year. I think it's time they went separate ways, bless them.
It's so, like, it's, well, I know when we first started the primary school in Australia as well, there's a set of twins. I won't mention their names, but yeah, and they did the same thing. They did prep together, and then they actually moved into grade one together as well. I wonder what they're going to do next year. So interesting, isn't it, to have twins? But then you had twins, and then you got Bonnie, who's five, so you didn't have much of a gap.
Not at all. So Bonnie's in prep, so she's just in her first year of school, and she's really loving it. She's settled in so well, and I think there's such a good element here in the schools of fun as well as learning, and they've always got lots of fun things going on in the school and in the classroom, so it's not so scary. It's not very daunting for them starting school here.
And are you making mates with all the school mums and parents and everything?
Yeah, it's good to meet all the school mums. I feel, you know, everyone kind of drops and runs in the morning, so there's not too much chit-chat, but all the school mums and dads are so welcoming and so friendly. I have found here that there is a lot of dads doing the school drop-off and pick-up, much more so than the UK. I don't know whether that's down to, you know, better work-life balance and dads having the time to do that kind of thing as well, but it's definitely something that I have noticed since being here.
All right, cool. Now, let's so just whereabouts in Australia? Well, sorry, where are you from in the UK?
So in the UK, I was always living in Leicester, so the Midlands. And then when me and Jason came home from Australia together, we moved to Cambridgeshire.
Okay.
Very all different. Right. Here.
So obviously big difference to where you live now. Just what's the main difference, you'd say?
The sun. Hands down, the sun and the blue skies every day. Yeah, I don't think you can get better than that.
And are you guys outdoor people?
Very. We weren't so much in the UK, I feel like, because you can't be. I mean, we'd go out for walks here and there, but they're nothing like the walks that we do here. We love to explore the mountains and the waterfalls here, and obviously also the ocean as well, walks along the seafront.
Yeah, it's cool. And what work were you doing in the UK?
In the UK, I was just working as a PA, so I've completely changed roles coming out here. So, yeah, it's nice to have a fresh start, fresh job, you know, all of it.
Yeah, it's good. So, and obviously you've got such a young family. How did you go about telling the parent, you know, your parents and everything, the grandparents about this massive move?
Yeah, it was hard. So we actually originally started our visa process in 2018. So we kind of had time to soften the blow. So we did tell all of our family at that time. And then, you know, circumstances changed. Another baby came along and whatnot. So we did have to put it off for a couple of years. So, yeah, I feel like they got a bit of a softer blow. Some took it better than others. I will say that.
Yeah, it is. It's tough. Everyone goes through it. I always ask those questions because it's so interesting. Some, you know, some are supportive. And no, will the grandparents get out here and all that, you think?
Yeah, so I've already had visitors over, had my mum come over in October, and then my dad flew out in November, actually. So I've had a couple of visitors over. Hopefully get some more this year as well. It does make you feel a little bit better knowing that family's coming over and a familiar face. So, yeah, it's always good to have the visitors.
Yeah, I bet. Yeah, it does. It just makes it feel, you know, more home. But communicating for the, you know, for the kids and the grandparents, is it just lots of Skype calls or probably Skype? I don't know if many people use Skype anymore. What do you normally use for video calls?
Just straight on the FaceTime. I think it's so easy now. The kids have all got iPads and they've all got FaceTime on their iPad. So, you know, if ever they want to phone someone from home, they just need to ask me quickly first, make sure I'm not in the shower or anything. And yeah, they're good to go. So it makes it so much easier that to have that communication now that probably wasn't there 10 years ago if you moved then.
And do you find now they speak to the grandparents more by doing that than what they were when they were living back home? Yeah.
They're always having a chat to them. And, you know, sometimes it might only be a 5 or 10 minute call, but just to give a recap of what they've done for the day or what we've done over the weekend. Whereas when we were living back in the UK, we'd go and see the grandparents, but, you know, it's carnage with three young kids, so they'd never actually get a conversation out of them. So, yeah, I feel like they're communicating so much more here than we were there.
Cool. All right. Now, you guys came over on a 190 visa, so a permanent residency visa, your partner Jason being a data cabler. So we actually gave him his Australian qualification. He then put in it through TRA, got his skills assessment, did an English test, put the visa in. So that's quite a long journey. So from day you signed up with the Down Under Centre to getting the visa granted, how many years was it? Because probably got a pandemic like everyone else in between that too.
So we were actually really lucky. So we started the process, as I said, in 2018. I can't really remember how far we get. We didn't get overly far. And then we put the whole thing to a start. To a stop. And then we actually got started again in 2022. And I think we were one of the lucky ones. From start to finish, we were done in just under 6 months.
Yeah, that's huge.
Yeah, we were very, very lucky.
Yeah, that's huge. That's really good. All right, so you rock up. You know, parents did okay, you know, your parents and that, you know, wasn't too bad. Flight with the kids, handful, or was it something? Have you done long flights with the kids before?
No, the kids had never been on a plane before, which I think actually kind of helped because they were so excited about the flight and the journey and the TVs in front of their seats. So actually they were really good. It wasn't the nightmare that I had envisioned at all. They were fine. It was the following days with the jet lag that were definitely hard to handle.
So you arrive. So you got the kids. Yeah, you arrive and you arrived straight in the Goldie. Did you?
Yeah, straight to the Gold Coast. Straight in. We went from -7 when we left to waking up at 4:30 a.m. the next day when we arrived, and it was 34 degrees already at that time. So it was nice. Very, very hot.
Very, you got defrosted pretty quickly.
Oh, for sure.
And when you first arrived, where'd you live?
So we stayed in a caravan park actually for a few days while we sorted our rental out and got furnished and whatnot. So that was actually really super handy to be able to just stay there. It felt like a holiday for the kids when we arrived before we, you know, got down to business and got everything sorted.
Did you sell a house and then move over? Were you renting when you moved over? Did you bring furniture over, or did you just bring the suitcases?
So we sold our house to come over, which is so stressful trying to time it all right. So we had to live with our in-laws for about a month before we arrived, before we came to Australia, which was fine. You know, it gave us lots of time to sell all our things on Facebook Marketplace and whatnot and be ready to come here. And we also used a small shipping container just to ship some basic bits and some sentimental bits and bobs. But
What are basic things?
Oh, so memory boxes from the kids and photo frames and, you know, random little bits of decoration that I like around the house, and which was so lovely. When that arrived, it kind of felt like you could breathe again. Just seeing your things here with you was such a nice feeling.
Yeah, it is nice, that feeling. So you left the beds and everything like that, got rid of them, marketplace them, and just arrived with like the suitcases you came with. Was it just like, you know, all clothes and toys for the kids, or how did that work?
We had about 8 Sports Direct bags with us, the trusty Sports Direct bags. I think 2 of those were filled with toys and the rest were, just filled with clothes. I think we bought way too many winter clothes. We didn't realise just how hot it is all the time here. So that's probably something I would change if I were to come over again, or to advise anyone if you are coming to the Gold Coast, you definitely don't need all of the jumpers.
There's only, how many, you know, like, is there a couple of months in the year that you'd wear jumpers, or is it not even that in the Goldie?
Not even that. I mean, the mornings and the evenings get quite cold, and that's starting about now. The evenings are dropping. So I'd say, a couple of months, you may need a jumper in the evening. The odd day you might need one in the daytime, but other than that, it's, you know, shorts and t-shirt weather all year round.
And what was it, so you really like Sydney, you mentioned on your working holiday visa, the man of your dreams flew over, met you, and then you moved to the Gold Coast. So what was the change in that, just because of the children there, or was it the cost of living in New South Wales? What was it?
Cost of living was a huge factor. I mean, Sydney is crazy prices. So that was definitely a big thing for us. But the Gold Coast just seemed to tick so many boxes. We've got, you know, the better weather, and the outdoor lifestyle is just that little bit more here, we've found. We're amazed by how close we are to the mountains and the waterfalls. That's not something we even realised was here before we moved, because we'd never actually been to the Gold Coast before we came over. So, yeah, we're so glad we picked here over anywhere else, and we're loving our lives here.
Yeah, no, it is. It's definitely cool. You mentioned you're loving your lives. What did you do on the weekend?
Oh, weekends, we're always out and about. It's always this running joke with people that we know that, oh, what did you get up to this weekend? We never, ever just stay home. I think we are just living like we're on holiday every weekend. So whether that's going down to the beach, or we'll often travel down the coast a couple of hours to find new places, or, you know, if it's a bit of a cooler day, we'll go for a hike up the mountains and see some waterfalls. We're always outside. We are never ever at home on a weekend, which is really good. It's good to let the kids go and burn some energy as well.
In the UK, you had would it be fair to say you had a comfortable life? Like, you had financially, you guys, you know, both worked and you had money to do things. Would you say that financially you're better off in the Gold Coast, or you're more better off in the UK?
We are so much better off here financially and with our lifestyle here. It was a bit of a worry coming over. We heard so much about the rental crisis and the cost of living in Australia. And although house prices probably are more expensive here than back in the UK, everything else seems much lower and wages are way higher. So, yeah, we are much more comfortable here.
Yeah. Yeah, I get that a lot, actually. Like, it is nice. But as you say, you know, climbing mountains and all that's free. Going to the beach and all that's free. So there's lots of stuff you do. Even just, I took my oldest son, Jet, turned 8 during the week. So he got a new bike for his birthday. And we bought like a 24-inch wheel bike. So it's like really, it's huge. It will last him until he's about 30, I reckon. Anyway, it's quite a big bike for the poor kid. But it was just so nice just going on the bike track along the coast on Sunday. We rode so far, Becky, and it just didn't feel like it. The only thing he was annoyed about, the dad forgot the wallet so we couldn't get an ice cream at the end. But we just rode so much. It was just so nice. It was just beautiful Melbourne sort of coldish but sunny sort of autumn day. It was cool.
It was so lovely. Autumn's definitely my favourite.
Yeah, everyone says that as well. You think that like summer's the favourite, but you sort of – I wouldn't say you get over summer. This sounds really odd and probably punishing to the people listening that aren't here yet. But you don't. It's not that you get over summer, but you do get quite a lot of hot days in from December to February. And it does cool down in March, and then obviously the end of April sort of gets a bit cold. You know, in Melbourne, you know, July, August is cold. Like, it is. There's no beating around the bush. It's cold. Was it cold? Is it cold in the Gold Coast, or just livable in those months?
Oh, it's not cold at all. I mean, some of the locals I'll see on the school run will go to school in like jeans maybe for a couple of weeks. But no, last year I think I wore a jumper a handful of times during the day. It doesn't get too cold.
And on the UK side, like apart from family and that, I mean, what do you miss things? Is it like food? Is it friends? Like do you miss much about the UK?
Yeah, so there's a few things that I do miss. So here on the Gold Coast, we don't get the late summer evenings that other places in Australia have. So in the winter, well, even now, it's dark by 6 o'clock. So that's something that I definitely miss from the UK. You know, it'd be light sometimes until 10 p.m. So I really do miss that. That's one of the things that I wish we could have here. And the other thing is M&S. I mean, all my UK people will agree. We just want an M&S here.
Yeah. I think about to say M&Ms. I'm thinking, we've got heaps, mate. But so Queensland doesn't have daylight savings.
No.
Yeah. It's interesting, isn't that? Like how Australia, like some states have it, some states don't.
It just changed last week. So we're right close to the border of New South Wales. So when we cross over, you know, we can get an hour extra if we want to go watch a sunset. But, you know, it's not that much. So, yeah, that's something I really do miss. So
So yours near some pretty amazing places then, if you're on the border in northern New South Wales and the Gold Coast. There's some stunning like parts in that. So you got Byron and Yamba and a few other places. But how close are you to those places, Becky?
So we're about a 45-minute drive to Byron, and we go there quite a lot. We love it down in Byron. And we also have the ability to go up the coast as well. So we're about 2 hours from Noosa. So yeah, there's so much you can travel, so many places you can travel down here. And I know people just hear Byron Bay and that's kind of a name that springs out to them. But in between the Gold Coast and Byron, there's so many lovely like hidden gems as well, both on
Lennox Heads, got them all.
Yeah, gorgeous, gorgeous places.
It's a surfer's paradise around there. I don't mean the surfer's paradise. I mean, if you're surfing and all that and you like your water, then those areas, northern New South Wales to the Gold Coast, is just, it's unbelievable.
That's the place to be.
You lose your surf when you get to the sunny coast, but you've got pretty much all the way from sort of, I guess, Bulleye from Sydney, south of Sydney. And then the surf just gets really good all the way up to the Sunshine Coast. And then I think that's one thing that I really miss. I always think about moving to sort of Queensland, but I've got family here. You know, 45 minutes to Byron is great, but then you go a couple of hours up the other way and you've got like Noosa and that. That's I can see why the Gold Coast attracts lots of people. Do you, Becky, do you now, are you renting or have you bought a house? Where are you at now?
Yeah, so we rented for the first 9 or 10 months, but we actually bought a house at the end of last year. So we feel much more settled now. We've got a place to, you know, call our own and have as our own place.
And what's the, I know it's quite personal, but your cost of living and all of that, like with your mortgages and your income and Jason's income and everything like that, you said that you're better off here, but is it, was getting a mortgage difficult? You've only been here for a year. Was it challenging? And how expensive is it, like, you know, to get a place here in the Gold Coast or on the Gold Coast?
So it wasn't too challenging. It was much easier than buying a house in the UK. In the UK, you know, they ask for months and months of bank statements and wage slips. You know, it just drags on. And also, the biggest difference I found is how quickly you can exchange your contract and actually move into a place here. So back in the UK, it would take months and months. You know, when we sold our place, we sold in the June, I think it was. We took it off the market and it didn't go through until January. So it was just such a dragged out process. And whereas here we had come to view the house and we were living in it within 6 weeks. So yeah, very fast here and super easy as well.
And then, I mean, you guys are a healthy bunch. You know, you go on walks and all that sort of stuff and, you're going outdoors and all that. Food-wise and everything like that, is it easy to eat healthy here in Australia compared to the UK or are they both on par?
No, it's so much easier. I can't believe how unhealthy we were in the UK. When I think about the things we used to eat or, you know, the restaurants that we'd go to, we would just never dream of living that life here. It's so healthy. You go out and, you know, everyone's offering smoothies and like vegetable bowls and fruit bowls and salads, and everyone is just for a healthy life here. You don't see much junk food at kids' parties and stuff. My little girl Bonnie, it's her birthday this Thursday and we're throwing her a party, and all the parties I've been to, there's never like crisps and fizzy drinks and stuff. It's just not the done thing here.
Yeah, a bit of torture for them. I'm not going to lie to you. The best bit about going back to the UK for me is getting a curry, for sure. But even when we take – I didn't know this actually until my wife mentioned it, but in Woolworths here, which is like I guess our what would Woolworths be back in the UK? Like Sainsbury's?
Yeah, maybe like a Sainsbury's.
But bigger, like a Morrison's probably.
Yeah.
But when you walk in, if you've got a kid, they've got a fruit section and you just walk in with your kid and the kid just grabs a bit of fruit, like an apple, banana, peach, whatever it is, and then they just sit in the trolley and then they're just eating a bit of fruit. Offered for free. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, it's definitely something that you would never, ever get back in the UK, free fruit.
It stops them like wanting all the other bits and pieces. Like, you know, we've all done it. Every parent's gone through it where the kid wants something and might get a bit cross and if they don't get it. But then if you've already got something like a bit of fruit, it does help. It's it is definitely that healthier sort of style. I guess it's an option, isn't it? Obviously, we've got driving bottle shops too, guys. So that's pretty easy to get to get drinks and everything. You just cruise through. And do you remember your first experience with a driving bottle shop? People can't believe it the first time they go through them. Just explain, Becky, if you don't mind, what a driving bottle O is.
Yeah, so it's literally, well, obviously here you can't buy alcohol in the supermarkets, which is a bit hard to get your head around when you first arrive. So that's something to bear in mind if you're coming over. But yeah, the drive-through bottle shops, it's like a McDonald's, but for alcohol.
So. It is. I got a mixed slab of beer, please. But yeah, that's what they do. And you just sit in your car and you just ask them.
Yeah.
And they just bring it to your car. You give them some cash and you're off. Yeah, it's crazy. I remember being a tradie and all that, and so many people would, not me, of course, but my mates usually, would pick up like a few beers from the bottle-o and just have a couple of drinks in the car on the way home. It was just life for many of my friends that would do that. And then you just think like it's so bad. Like, you know, you've got to be obviously 0.05 you've got to be.
Yeah,
Okay, let's go into that. So, what's the police presence like in the Is it there? Is it different? Yeah. Do you feel safe there with the police presence, or are they? I know in Melbourne we get referred to as like the nanny state. And one thing I noticed here, Becky, was lots of hidden speed cameras. They like to do a lot of revenue when you're driving around. Do they do that in the Gold Coast?
Yeah, absolutely. There's so many also red light cameras and speed cameras, and something that I didn't even know existed, seatbelt cameras. That's something I'd never experienced before. And, you know, it's not a slap on the wrist if you get caught. They're hefty fines. I think it's about...
Did you get done?
No, I've never been done. No, it's just something that I noticed coming over. Also random stops to be breathalyzed. Back in the UK, I've been driving for 13 years. I'd never, ever been stopped by the police. Within my first couple of months here, I got stopped and randomly breathalyzed. So, yeah, it's definitely a thing here where they are tight on it. It's not, you can't, you know, run a red light or go over by a few K speeding. They are just zero tolerance on it.
Yeah, it's lots of, like, people blame it on revenue, but I guess it's there to protect us. I remember going to a meeting from, and I reckon it was the lunch thing, and I got pulled up by the booze bus. So they like do a drug and like you go through to one person, you blow in the bag, yeah, pass that one. Then they do like a swab test for drugs, pass that one. Then they're like, where are you off to? And I'm like, oh, I'm actually going for a meeting in the pub. And the cop and the policeman just goes, all right, well, in a few hours, you're going to be on the other side of the road, mate. I'm like, that's fine. It's like 11 o'clock in the day, mate. Like, how many people are they expecting to catch at 11 a.m.? Anyway, they must do it for those reasons. But it's definitely something that I think we've ever actually spoken about that in podcasts before, what that's like. So I'm happy that Victoria and Queensland seem to be on par with, it seems like, a bit of revenue. So if you are going to be driving, make sure they're always watching, aren't they?
They are. You can't escape it here at all.
Yeah, that's so good. What would you give any tips or anything for people looking to make the move? Anything that you wish could have done differently, maybe, Becky, or any things you'd like to offer?
Oh, do you know, I think coming over, one of our biggest mistakes was wanting to get the best house with a big pool. And, you know, we should have maybe not done that. We should have maybe, you know, not spent our money and lived like we were on holiday for 6 months. We perhaps should have reined it in and lived like we were actually living here, which obviously we are. So that's probably one thing I would say to everyone. I know it feels like a holiday when you arrive, but, you know, be careful with what you're spending.
That's an awesome, well said. That's so true. It's so common. Everyone does it, isn't it? Because it's that dream. And I guess social media is quite big now, so everyone wants to, I wouldn't say outdo each other, but it's very, you know, you want to show people, that your family, friends back home, that, wow, you know, I have made the right decision. When we do the podcast with people that are in the visa process, their pet hate, Becky, and you were lucky because yours was short, is the visa process takes a while. So usually you'll do at least one Christmas where you're telling people you're moving. You go the next Christmas function, they're like, oh, you're still here, probably a bit smugly. And you're like, yeah, but I am going. It's just a long process. Maybe that's why people sometimes feel that they need to have good things. I see so many people spending lots of money on brand new cars when they arrive.
Yeah.
And cars are expensive, as in Oz, I found.
They are expensive. They are expensive. One thing we have found here is in the UK, we were very materialistic. We had very nice vehicles. We were always out, you know, shopping, and it was all very materialistic. Whereas here, we don't live that life at all. We're very basic. We drive very basic vehicles because there's more to life than showing off here. And here, no one cares, to be honest. Everyone just stays in their own lane. No one's bothered about what car you drive or, you know, how you're dressed. Everything is just very much more chilled and non-judgmental here.
Yeah, that's awesome. All right, well, Becky, I reckon this feels like I've done more of an interview, like I've interrogated you. So I hope you don't feel like that, but you've given some really good answers. Guys, we don't practice the podcast, to be honest. It's more like, you know, 5 minutes before, we'll just do a bit of a sound check, make sure that the people we're interviewing's cameras work, and then we just chit-chat about things. So I appreciate the time. Lisa, can we get you into the podcast, please?
Yeah. Hi, guys. Hi, Becky. Thanks for joining us. We started working last year and you work as a relocation agent. You recently started work as the lead relocation agent as well. So big congrats on that promotion.
Thank you.
Let's just have a quick chat about the relocation services. What areas do you cover, Becky?
So when I moved over here, I was just focusing on the Gold Coast mainly. I mean, the Gold Coast is such a huge place. It takes about an hour top to bottom. So it's such a huge area. But I have also recently started working in the northern New South Wales side of it as well. I found that I was traveling that way every weekend and loving the beaches and the lifestyle down there. So it seemed silly not to offer those areas to the clients that are also interested in the Gold Coast, you know, and just letting them know what's just the other side of the border as well.
When you say northern New South Wales, what do you mean?
So the top end of the New South Wales border is the Tweed Coast. So you've got Tweed and Coolangatta. And I actually work all the way down to Pottsville, which is around about 40 minutes down south from the border. But there's some really lovely areas there. So I like to recommend those areas to clients moving over as well, just so they can see both sides of living on each side of the border.
It's a great area. I went to the Gold Coast during the height of COVID, where all the borders were shut. And I remember going to, I think it's called Kira Beach or something.
Yeah, lovely.
And I could see where the border was, where you could drive into the New South Wales. And we couldn't obviously cross that, but you could see it. And that's how crazy it was back then.
Yeah, you can't imagine now.
Yeah, yeah. It's really kind of a bit tropical feeling, that area, isn't it?
It is. It's very green. It's just lush green and a very, very chilled lifestyle across the border. I think some people have the perception of Gold Coast all being like surfer's paradise, which it absolutely is not. It's very, very different in certain areas of the Gold Coast, but northern New South Wales is just very green, very chill, and very friendly as well.
Yeah, it's a great place. Loved it. So can you tell us a bit about your work as a home search agent, please?
Yeah, so I help families and single people also move over from the UK or interstate. So I will advise on suburbs and let them know what each suburb is like and, you know, what it offers depending on where they're working. They might like to know where the train line is or, you know, how they can commute to Brisbane perhaps. So I advise on all of that. And then I help them to find a property before they arrive. So I will speak to real estate agents locally and, you know, try and find a property that's suitable for them, that matches all their requirements. And then I'll go and inspect the property, as that's something you have to do here. So before you can apply for a property here, you have to have physically inspected it. So that's something I'll do on their behalf. And if they like what they see from the video that I take or if we FaceTime, I will then apply for that property as well on their behalf and hopefully come back with a positive answer ahead of their arrival.
Perfect. And how does it help people?
It helps people massively. The people that I've helped have always come to me and said, wow, I don't know how I would have done it without you, because it is so hard to secure a rental from the other side of the world. I mean, first of all, you've got time differences And then we are in a rental crisis. So there could be sometimes 100 people all going to view the one property. So I think the agents like to have me there to liaise on behalf of my clients, you know, and just to try and get them the property that ticks every box for them.
What is the rental crisis like there? Is it getting worse? Have you noticed that?
I haven't felt like it's getting worse, but the one thing that is getting harder is the prices are continuing to rise. So it was actually on the news a few days ago that the house prices for rentals here on the Gold Coast have gone up by 20% since last year. So it is this continued thing where, you know, if you are coming over with the lower end of a budget, perhaps there are going to be at least 100 people usually there at the viewing, all fighting for the one property.
Yeah, do you find, because people obviously move over with the ideal in their head, like you said, you know, you want the kind of house on the beach with the pool. I guess a big part of the job can sometimes be like managing people's expectations sometimes as well, can it, Becky?
Yeah, absolutely. So I think people perhaps sometimes get in touch before they've done any research themselves. A quick look online, you can see what kind of property you can get for your budget in the areas. And sometimes you have to, you know, be open that you might not get everything that you want. You might not get a pool, or you might not be walking distance to the beach. But we'll always try our best to let you know, what sort of thing you can expect to get for your budget and for the time that you're coming over.
Great. That's really useful, Becky. Thanks so much for sharing your story and talking about the home search service. If you do want to find out more about that service, there is a link in the description, guys.
Yeah, awesome. Great. Becky, you smashed it. You speak so well. Guys, Becky was nervous about doing this. Sorry to dub you in there, Becky, but you're a bit hesitant. But you've absolutely, you've been a pleasure to interview.
Thank you.
Thanks for everything you do for the DUC, and thanks for everything that you've just done today. Lisa, you're a legend. And guys, thank you for joining us. Tune into the next podcast. Catch you soon, everyone. Bye.